Thank you, Jesus. This is what the Spirit of Life says. Do not look on the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. But look unto the things that are unseen, says the Lord, for they are eternal. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For these light momentary afflictions are producing in you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, says the Lord. For I am the good shepherd. I am your good shepherd, says the Lord. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for I am with you. My rod of authority and my staff of provision will comfort you. I am the God of and the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, says the Lord. And I will comfort you on every side. For surely goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. So set your affections on things above, not on the earth below, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. And you are seated with me at the right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. For I am your good shepherd, says the Lord, and I will lead you in paths of righteousness, and I will cause you to have a feast in the midst of your enemies. For I am anointing you with oil. I am anointing you with a fresh oil, with a fresh eye salve, so you can see, says the Lord, so you can see and follow me, for my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I know their name. I know your name, says the Lord. I have called you by name, and I have written you on the palms of my hand. For truly, I am good to Israel, and I am good to you, my beloved bride, says the Spirit of Love.
Bruce, it's up to you, brother.
Hi, y'all. You talk like that up here? Y'all. Hang around Preston too much. You guys look good.
All children of the living God, light of Jesus.
You know, it's up to us to discern the times we're in. And I think it's important that you realize we're in serious times. It has nothing to do with what I'm speaking about, but I think the destiny of the world is at a teetering point, and I think the earth is crying out for the sons and daughters of God to rise up and take this nation for the Lord. And you're a mighty army that's been staying in the barracks. And you're meant to be on the battlefield. It's time to engage. And if you choose not to, then you're just saying, enemy, have it your way. It's that serious. So take that to heart, chew on it, and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're called to be part of the battle. And you can change the entire direction of not only this nation, but this earth toward God or away from God. That's really your destiny here.
Yeah.
It's what you're called to. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for these people. I just ask that they hear what you want to share. No more than that, God. Just do what you want to do. Let your will be done in this place today, in the heart and life of every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a real privilege to speak to you guys today. I wouldn't say I'm preaching. I wouldn't say I'm teaching. You hear me say a lot, I'm sharing. But this is really just something that's dear to my heart. So more than anything, I just want to share my heart. And it's personal. So you guys are really just hearing what the Lord's talking to me about and showing me. But I think it's more than just for me. So grab hold of it. I can tell you where I'm starting. I can tell you where I'm ending. I don't know the in-between. Sometimes the Lord surprises me of what comes out of my mouth. But I trust him. I trust him. This is a little different for me because usually I write everything down. And I have this security blanket called a piece of paper with everything on it. Now I'm looking at screens and time and all these things. So it's hear the heart of God in it. At the end, I'm going to ask someone to come up from the worship team. I mentioned this last week, and we're going to do a song we did last week. But I'm going to ask that no one leaves at the end. Okay? No one leave at the end. And we are all going to take a moment. We're going to seek the Lord individually. I'm going to ask you to spread out. I'm going to ask you to find your place with him and spend a minimum of 5 minutes just seeking the Lord. The Lord wants to talk to you guys today. Each and every person, he has something for you today. Okay, but it's going to take you to go and find it. All right? You with me? Okay. All right, Revelations 2:1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. And you say, why is he doing King James? It's hard even reading it sometimes. But here's why. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And I just like the way it phrased it. Okay? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. That's a great reward. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And about a month ago, the Lord gave me this passage, and he gave me three things stemming from this passage, which I'll try to hit on today. But it was really the fact that he said to Ephesus, who, by the way, was like the church of churches. If you want to model something, you want to model Ephesus, okay? And he said, I had this against you. You've left your first love. And I want to say this to all of us and anyone that's listening, but this is really a word for the church of God this day. They've left their first love. and he's holding it against them, which is really serious. So how many of you have been to Ephesus? Right? I know my family has for the most part. We took a cruise a few years back. And it was one of my favorite tours. Probably my Turkey was just phenomenal. And it was pretty neat to see, you know, you're driving along and they said, well, that used to be Ephesus. And then you drive along and they'd say, well, that used to be Ephesus. And then you drive here and say, well, here is now Ephesus, because they're uncovering, which was all buried, the library and the port where Paul used to speak and where the prostitutes used to meet in the bathroom, and just tidbits of the city, how people used to live, and you stand there kind of in awe. And I remember standing just outside the library where the port is, and I could just see Paul preaching. It was a city that was, the temple of Artemis was there, worshiped Diana, and it was a city that came after his third journey there, which he stayed there a couple years, just the model church. And you say, what do I mean? We talk a lot here about what our identity is in Christ. We've talked a lot about doing things from our being, okay? Not just doing things, but doing things based on who we are in Christ and knowing who we are in Christ. And that's how they lived. And Paul, in his epistle, laid out a roadmap of, here's who you are, and here's working it out throughout your life. It is basically a roadmap for the church. And I think this was like a perfect place, a perfect people, the model church, but yet he had this against him in the end. I thought, Lord, what are you saying to me? And it became real personal. So I just want to go down that journey with you. What's next verse? It's not up there. Thank you. Tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Is that the right verse? Is it? You sure? It's 10:27, dear. It probably did. You guys all know this verse. I should just have you quote it to me. Anybody want to be put on the spot? What's it say? Thank you. Yes. It's like the greatest commandment, right?
Yeah.
Staying on the love theme. Now, there's lots of verses that repeat that. Actually, that is being repeated from Deuteronomy in a couple places. And I want you to understand the essence of what it's saying. Who you are, what you do, and the outcome of it. Absent the foundational love of God is meaningless. Now, this is, it's more profound than your reaction. Who you are, what you do, and what you accomplish is meaningless absent the foundation of the love of God. Okay, first you're to love God. See, many of us sometimes get challenged in our lives because we prioritize the wrong things and we do them well. Okay? We should prioritize one thing and do it excellently. Love God. Out of that, we will love ourselves because we'll start to see ourselves how He sees us, which enables us to love others because we begin to see them how He sees them. And out of that, all the works are done. All of them. Absent that, you're really doing nothing for the Lord, and you're not representing Him in it. Might be good stuff, but it's not God's stuff. It's time the church starts doing God stuff. Make sense? Okay. I'm really not going to talk what I want to talk about till the end. So I'm filling a bunch of scriptures in here, but I think it'll tie together. What's the next one? Oh, good. Everyone knows this one, right? Yeah. It's foundational scripture again. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why did I throw that in there? So first we have a command from God, right? Love Him. It's really not optional. As much as we try not to sometimes and just do our own things, it's a command. And then we have God demonstrating something to us. Right? So He not only tells you to love Him, but He tells you, here's what it looks like. Right? For God so loved that He gave. Here's the next one. But God demonstrates His own love for us, and this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? He's showing us through His word, through His actions, through His deeds, what love looks like. What the love of God looks like. He makes it so plain and so clear that it can't be mistaken. Next verse. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. There's something that's required in love, and the reason it's so important, it's so vital, it's absolutely the foundation of which everything is built upon. It compels us. The key motivator in our lives is the love of God. Anything else shouldn't be compelling you. The love of God is what should compel you. Why did I say earlier, it's time for the church to rise and go to war, right? The love of God should be compelling us. And if that hasn't been compelling us, then I question, are we functioning out of our first love? Next verse. 1 John 4:19, wonderful verse. We love Him because He first loved us. Here's what first love does. It causes you to love. It's because He loved us that we love Him. It's because He made a way that we can even come to Him. He has set this up for us to live life so simply. He's already overcome every obstacle. There's nothing you can't overcome. He's overcome death. He's overcome hell. He's overcome every single thing we will ever face. And all He says is, come along for the ride. I love the song my daughter wrote a while back, let's go on an adventure. That's all He's called us to. for eternity to adventure with him. Guess what? It's a lot of fun. Walking with the Lord, living with the Lord is a lot of fun. Next verse. Oh, yeah. This is one of the passages he gave me. And I thought this was so odd. So the Lord's talking to me about revelations, right? Having this against you, you've left your first love. You're doing all this stuff, and it all looks good, right? And he brought me to the passage of the prodigal son, and I'm like, okay, I don't get that. He also brought me to the passage of the 10 virgins, which we'll get to in a little bit. I was like, I don't see the correlation for any of this. I don't know where he's going. I don't know what he's doing. So I'm just going to sit and ponder this. And there's this part of the passage right here, Luke 15:20. So he got up, went to his father. Right now, you all know the story of the prodigal son. He wanted his inheritance. He wanted to live now. So he got the father to give him everything that was his. And he went off and squandered it all and realized he was better off with the father. How many of you know you're better off with the father? I've always told my children, why would you ever leave me? Yeah, there is no better place. I'd still live with my parents if they wanted to kick me out. Right? There's no better place. You're loved. You're taken care of. They always want the best for you. They're always thinking of what's best for you. Sometimes they think they know what's best for you and you fight against it, but God does know what's best for you. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. I thought, oh God, again. You're showing me what first love is. You saw me before I ever was. Before I was in my mother's womb, you knew me. You had a destiny for my life. I was called. I was appointed. I was anointed for your plans and purposes as you are. He knew you. And so many of us have gone off and done our own things, sometimes in the name of the Lord. Sometimes to do good works. And he's just looking from a far way off with a longing to see you again. With a longing for you to look at him how you did at first. Right. Everything's based in that. Yeah. You don't know who you are until you're back to your first love. His son didn't know he was a son. He wanted to come back as a slave. The Father is demonstrating his passion for you. He's always looking. He's always looking. He's always believing. He's always trusting. He's always hoping that you will come back to him. Church needs to come back to him. Next verse. Doing a lot of familiar verses. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Next verse. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Next verse. Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. I went through those quickly, but there's a principle here. Seek him, you'll find him. Okay, we'll get back to that in a little bit. The 10 virgins, Matthew 25. And I thought, this one was really hard for me to figure out what the Lord was trying to say. And I'm sure there's a lot more to it. But we'll go with what I have, or what he shares with me while I'm speaking. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. Foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on the way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." I wanted to talk about this briefly from the standpoint of demonstrating and exercising love toward somebody. Now, most of you have heard the stories of, you know, my wife and me and how we got together and all that. I met my wife at church camp. I really had no interest in a relationship. I had resolved in my mind I was going to be single. I was going to do this, this, and this. I was going to retire early and just live my life how I wanted to live it. And somehow, without her trying, I'm sure, my heart was captured. And she went her way after church camp. I went my way. And I came back and I worked with one of my friends, and apparently I drove him nuts talking about this girl. To the point that he got disgusted with me, picked up the phone, found her number, called her and said, "You got to do something with this guy." So Lori and I started talking, you know, I did the whole thing, sent her flowers and all this kind of stuff. I ended up, she had graduated high school. She had planned her life. She was moving out to California and had got a job. She was going to start in a career. I said, "Well, I'll move you out to California. I have some friends out there." So little did she know that I had plans. She had brought, you know, I think about $400, which, you know, a drive straight through, that's more than enough. You'll be all right. It takes about 32 hours if you drive straight through. I took 9 days. I stopped everywhere I've ever wanted to stop along the going west, staying north, all the sites, you know, Mount Rushmore, the Badlands, Crater Lake, the Redwoods, you know, did all of it. She had spent all of her money after 2 days, or I had spent all her money after 2 days. So by the end of that trip, I was smitten as much as you could be smitten, right? So I leave her there, I come back. And go to work the first day I'm back, and I tell my boss I'm quitting, I'm moving out to California. Rational thing to do, right? It's not, okay, it's not rational at all, okay? I didn't know this girl. I met her at church camp. I had a few conversations, spent 9 days going out there, start kind of getting to know her. I didn't know she liked me. Didn't matter. Still doesn't matter. She kind of stayed with me, so. This is first love. You do things that aren't logical to the natural man because you're so smitten. You want to know why people could go and be martyred? Go to places that no one would go to? To serve the king, because they're so smitten. As Paul said, my life doesn't mean anything. Everything, nothing means anything except knowing him. So I went out there, and obviously at some point, she said she loved me, and she'd marry me. And it took 2 months and I moved back with her. Love is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And sometimes there's nothing logical about it. And look what he did. See, the passion that drives you to go for something, you may not even know the end result of it, but I look back and I see four wonderful children. I see how much they love the Lord. I see grandchildren coming. I see future husbands. I see future grandchildren. Lord willing, I'll see future great-grandchildren. I'll see a legacy, all that have built the kingdom of God simply because I followed passion. Unexplainable, not logical, but driven by my heart response. And trust me, it was only the grace of God that she fell in love with me.
Amen.
Only the grace of God.
Amen.
I got back here and I don't know how many relatives warned her. Oh, it's nice. I feel so bad for you that you married him. Do you know how he is? Oh, I know how he's. She, wherever she went, she got warned. They weren't wrong. I was hard. I was hard. I had very few friends. I wanted very few friends. Maybe a handful of people in my life I trusted enough to know me. The rest, you weren't going to know me. I'd make sure of it. I'd be hard. I don't know how she fell in love with me. It's God. Guess what? She loves me. Guess what? He loves you. You don't deserve it. And you don't need to. He's deemed you worthy. He's so in love with you. And he's never left his first love. Do you understand the passion God has for you? So you have these 10 virgins, right? Five wise, five not. None of them had met the bridegroom. They're just waiting for him to come. Now, this is totally illogical for me. Maybe it was logical back in that day. I'm not going through the cultural arguments of the day. I don't care. I'm not teaching you anything. I'm just talking. Okay? So keep that in mind. That's important. And I'm like, they're nuts. You got 10 women that have decided to give themselves and the rest of their lives towards something they don't know. Kind of remind me of me and my wife. Crazy. But five of them were rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because they were ready when he called. They were prepared. How do you do that? He had to constantly be on their mind. My bridegroom's coming. My bridegroom's coming. My bridegroom's coming. I'm doing all I can to be ready. I'm waiting. I'm anticipating. I have an expectation, so I can't wait. My bridegroom's coming. I'm prepared. My oil is ready. My lamp's ready. I'm going to meet him anytime. The other five were just living their lives. They wanted the same destination. They weren't doing anything towards it. How often is the church like that? How often am I like that? How often are you like that? Some would call it religion. We hear a lot about that. I'm not anti-religion. God's not anti-religion. But he's really pro-relationship. And in the end, what did he say? I didn't know you. Go back to Revelations. Nevertheless, I have someone against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I never knew you. So what's he saying here? What have I been trying to say in this whole thing? Remember, repent, do. Remember, what are you supposed to remember? All the things we talked about in the beginning. What did he do for you? What did he do for you? There's a song that says, when I think about the Lord, when I think about the Lord, and you say, okay, yeah, I'm thinking about the Lord. How he saved me, how he raised me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, took my life, turned me around, put my feet on solid ground, right? I'm thinking about the Lord. But here's a first love response. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah! You're worthy. Is there a shout in us anymore? Is there a passion for our God? Are we just going to let the world go its way? Are we going to return to that which took us to him in the first place? He made a way you couldn't. He paid the price that you couldn't pay. Do you understand the depth of passion he has for you? We should constantly be able to display our hearts to him. I know he's calling my heart today. He's been calling it for months. It's time to not do just to do. It's time to do because we love. And love will get us to do things we'd never do out of just doing. When we know who we are in him, how much he loves us, we can only seek him, and we will find him, and we will love him, and we'll do from that. Why? Because, Jesus, what are you doing today? Oh, that person, you're calling me towards him. I can't wait. What do you have? It's time for the church to be the church. The world's a mess, and it's our fault. He has this against us. It's a serious matter. Yeah. I want to stand before God and have nothing against me. Matter of fact, the only way I will stand before God is if he has nothing against me. He's calling you today to something deeper, more meaningful, everlasting. He's calling for our hearts to return to the first love. And what, just remember. I can remember moves of God. I did some stupid things. I was just so in love with him. I was at church camp. I was just so moved by God. And this girl needed a ride home. So I took her home. Sounds like a nice thing, right? I was a camp counselor. I had a cabin full of young men that I abandoned to take this girl home. And who was standing at the cabin door when I got back? Pastor Amundson, Pastor Claire. I think I was about 18 years old, nice young man. I was so moved by God and had compassion for this girl. I wanted to make sure she got home safely, right? You do dumb things. I had a duty and responsibility. I could have had somebody else take her home, right? That's the beauty of it. We get to clean up each other's messes, but we're all responding in love. He's calling us to respond in love. So if you go to the... Oh, Jesus. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. So I told you I knew how this was going to end, and here's how it's going to end. I'm going to ask you all to stand. And there's this song that we played last week. I don't know if I'd ever heard it before, but it says, if you seek me, if you will find me. As you find me, you will love me. He's just looking for you to love him today. That's all he's looking for. He's looking for you to love him. It's only then you'll really love yourself, and it's only then that you'll really love each other. Otherwise, it's all surface. It's not rooted and founded out of a relationship, a mad, loving, passionate, forever relationship with Jesus. Nothing else matters. When it's rooted in that, everything matters. And I'm going to ask each of you to find your own place. Whether it's up at the altar, whether it's in a pew, whether it's on your face, I don't care what it looks like. It's between you and the Lord. But I want you to remember. I want you to think about the Lord. I want us to repent. What's that really mean? Do the things we did at first. Have the mindset we had when we could do nothing but pursue him. Our hearts were so driven. I just want to be with him all the time. Oh, I can't help. I can't wait to be to church. Why? Because I'm with others who love him. You know why church is cool? Because you're here. You know why church isn't cool? Because you're here. Difference is, when you're in fire, you're a blast. When you're not, we're wasting our time. I don't have more time to waste. That's just the truth of the matter. You want to love the Lord more? Be around people that love the Lord. You want to be on fire for God? Be around people that are on fire for God. Guess what? It's catchy. You want to be around people that sit in the pew? You'll sit in the pew. And you'll have no lasting impact. He's calling you today. He loves you more passionately, more desperately than you realize. And it's time you get back to that which is deep within you. The same love back to him. That's what he's calling you to do. Remember, repent, then do. We're going to play this song. However long she plays it, we're going to sing it. That can be part of your seeking. But don't be standing here worshiping. Seek the Lord. Find your place. Seek the Lord. When he dismisses you, you're dismissed. Right? I love you guys. More than you guys know. He loves you even more. Heavenly Father, we're just giving this time to you. And we simply ask that you stir our hearts the way you stirred them in the beginning. And that we respond to that the way you would have us respond. And that you would shine brightly as people go out of this place. And that would impact all around them. Father, this world needs to be changed by your love, and the church needs to show it. We just declare it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Amen.